Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 21. If you're familiar with this text, you know that right after where our reading ends today, there is a larger extended one that could be included, and it involves Jesus' restoration of Peter, where he asks him, "Do you love me?" three times, and then says, "Feed my sheep." This morning, knowing that full text and looking at even what we have here, I wanted to ask you about the will of God. Where do you search for the will of God? How do you find it? How do you discover it? You know, in some ways, God's will for you is revealed in His Holy Scripture. And through your vocation, whatever you are in life, God's will for you is there revealed in His Word. If you are a parent and you wonder what God's will is for you and these children that He has blessed you with, God's Word tells you. You are to raise them in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. If you are a child, you know what God's Word says is His will for you in that vocation as child, in how your relationship is to be with your parents placed over you. There was a wedding here yesterday. Two of the newest members of Mount Olive, Mr. and Mrs. Sabeck, and they had that reading from Ephesians. There, we find some of God's will for our interaction with one another as spouses. If you're a spouse, God tells you and reveals to you His will for that relationship. His will is, husbands, you would love your wife and serve her as Christ does His holy church. And wives, you are to love and to submit to your husband as the church loves and submits to Christ. Those are some of the things that we can read and discover in Scripture that maybe help answer some of those things, those questions about the will of God in our lives. But there is plenty that you likely struggle with that isn't revealed directly in God's Word. Now, you can go down, or you could, I don't know if it's still open, the Christian bookstore. You could have gone down and found lots of people who have written books who would tell you what they think about that. But I wouldn't read them. But maybe you've struggled with some of that. For instance, do I take this new job that's been offered to me, or do I continue in the job that I'm already at? Well, look it up in the Scripture, and you're not going to find somewhere in like one of the more unread epistles, perhaps, like in Jude, a verse that tells you, thou shalt take this new job. It is a good idea. Right? So there you are, left, praying, attempting to discern the Lord's will in your life. This week, I had to wonder what the Lord's will was for me in my life here, because every time I go to the parking lot now, I find that my vehicle has been defaced by Vikings fans. What is the Lord's will in that? He is testing me for sure. But let's even go a little deeper. Events in your life, especially ones that may cause suffering, can certainly lead us to search out the Lord's will, can they not? What is the Lord's will? What is going on in my life now that I have received this diagnosis of a serious disease? What is the Lord's will in my life? What is His will for me now that I find that because of some kind of circumstances, I cannot make ends meet and pay all my bills and support and provide for my family? Those are tough questions. Those are things that make us hit our knees and pray to God and ask that He would reveal in some way His will for us. Peter, in our gospel reading today, is at a bit of a crossroads in determining the Lord's will as well. The Lord has done all that He has said that He would do. He has fulfilled everything that He said to His disciples, and now here He is, risen from the dead. But Peter and the other disciples, they find themselves exactly in the same place as where we met them at the beginning of John's gospel. They're fishermen. They're out in their boats, casting nets, fishing. All of these events between the very beginning of John's gospel and the very end have taken place. They have seen and done so much. They have heard and learned from their Lord. And now that He's risen, I guess let's go fishing. For Peter in particular, there are great questions and doubts on his mind as to where he stands and what the Lord's will is for him as he greets him on that shore this morning. He had denied the Lord 3 times during Jesus' arrest and trial. He had seen the Lord look at him, his eyes see into him and pierce him as he denied him that 3rd time and the rooster crowed. The weight of what he has done is weighing on him. And now, what would Jesus have him do? What is his will for Peter? Is it to go back to being a fisherman? There on the shore, Christ comes to them. And after that meal he has prepared for them, he restores Peter with that 3-fold repetition of, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Just like with all pastors there, Peter receives the very definitive answer of what God's will is for him, at least at that time. It is to indeed be an under-shepherd of God's flock. And through his church, Christ gives that same vocation to pastors whom he calls to serve in a place. But still, for Peter, that will be just the temporal work and will of God that he has for him. Jesus goes on, and I want to read to you what Jesus says to Peter after he restores him and tells him to feed his sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. After that, would you want to sign up and follow Christ? Here is your life in a nutshell. You are going to be taken by people and they're going to do things to you that you do not want them to do. You are going to suffer. You are going to be persecuted. And ultimately, Peter will be crucified, killed for the name of Jesus. Come, follow me. This is my will for your life, Peter. And yet, that is not the ultimate will of God in Christ Jesus that is revealed to Peter in those words to him from Christ. The ultimate will of God is revealed to Peter in the risen Lord Jesus Christ standing before him. Many things will come along in Peter's life, to be sure. Many things come along in your life, to be sure, that will seek to hinder and break this will of God. There will be trials and hardships. There may be persecutions and times of doubt and maybe even death for the sake of the name of Christ. Jesus knows all of this, and yet he still says to Peter, "Follow me." Because that ultimate will of God in Christ Jesus stands before Peter to give him hope. You see, the ultimate will of God, what Scripture is all about, what everything points to, what Jesus risen standing there points to those disciples, is that whatever trials you may face, whatever end you will meet, whatever you suffer for or are persecuted for in this life, His will for you is that you would be with Him. That you would be resurrected like Him with a body like His, to stand with Him, clothed in His righteousness for all eternity. That is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That is God's will. Jesus has this same will for all Christians, you and I included. We read the same things and the same warnings from the Scripture about all that may happen to us. We too may suffer. We too will have family members perhaps turned against family members. We may indeed be hated for His name's sake, and there may indeed be suffering. And Jesus still nonetheless says, "Follow me." Because my will for you is that you would be strengthened in your faith in this life and kept firm in the Word until you pass. And we know from the risen Jesus Christ that whatever God's will is, it will be accomplished. No matter what Satan attempted to do, no matter what people did to Christ, God's will was accomplished. And Christ conquered sin on the cross. He conquered death in the empty grave. And He now says His will for you is that you would conquer those things as well. In the Lord's Prayer, the third petition, what we are going to pray in just a few moments, we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done. And what is God's will? The Catechism confesses, God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, which we do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come. And when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die. This is His good and gracious will. God's good and gracious will is to keep you firm in your faith, to keep you with Him until you die. And just as we know that God's will was not thwarted in Christ Jesus, we know that this will for you will not be thwarted either. No one can snatch you from God's hand. He will not lose even one of whom has been given to Him. His will to bring you to be with Him so that God and man might dwell together again and walk as they did in the Garden of Eden will not be thwarted. You will be resurrected in a resurrection like His, never to suffer or hurt again. Does the devil try and hinder this? Absolutely. Does our own sinful nature sometimes buckle under the strain and want to bolt for the hills? Definitely. But does God's will for His people ever change? No. God's will remains for you to be with Him, and He will accomplish it. I had the wonderful opportunity to go and visit with David Henley this week. And we were able to celebrate communion together, and we were able to read the Easter text from Easter morning. And afterward, David struggled with some of those same things. "Pastor, what is God's will? Why do I have this disease in my body? Why am I in this place and not at home? I said, David, I don't know. But I can tell you what God's will is for you, and it is in that Easter text that we just read. No matter what you are going through, no matter what is happening to you, God's will for you hasn't changed, and He is working to bring you to be with Him someday. And David said, you're right, I know. And he was at peace. Knowing the will of God brings that kind of peace which surpasses all understanding. When we cannot figure out or we seem to not be able to discern what is going on in our life. God calls and gathers us here to this place in the midst of that confusion and doubt so that He might feed you like He fed His disciples with His very word and His very real presence, His body and blood in this sacrament. Because you see, that is the true feeding that is going on in John on the seashore. The disciples are being fed and they are being strengthened by the word and the presence of Jesus Christ, which speaks to them there in that early morning, just as you are this day. Jesus feeds you today as well with His word and promise. He feeds you through your ear. He feeds you on your tongue. And He says to you, my will is that you will be with me forever. And so we confidently come here this day and we come to this altar and we receive His body and blood, knowing that it is for the strengthening of our faith, so that whatever trials and temptations we may face, we may say, I will follow you, knowing that God's will is to bring you safely to everlasting life with Him for all eternity. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.